Near-Death Experience Podcast, an ongoing exploration of spiritually transformative experiences, including NDEs and other phenomena, in order to elucidate the ineffable and better understand our spirituality. All episodes are available at ndepodcast.org. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and guests are not necessarily those of NDE Podcast, the NDERF, any sponsors, or for that matter, anyone else. In the end, the only opinion that really matters is yours.
Welcome to Near-Death Experience Podcast, the official source of audio accounts for the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach About Life on the Other Side, and also the album Home. Okay, I'm going to apologize in advance today for my voice. I don't know how much is going to come out, the hoarseness and so forth. Just to inform all of you, because some of you already know anyway, my family, half of us have contracted COVID-19. We seem to be past the worst of it. It's not a pleasant experience, but we're getting through it, and I think we're on the level where we're just mostly tired at this point. We've been going through it for the past week or so, certainly nothing to worry about, but that's what's going on. And again, I apologize for my voice. We're going to start out today with a listener email. This is a conversation that I've been having back and forth with a listener who I will keep them anonymous, but we'll, for the purposes of this episode, we'll call them D. And D writes, "Hi, Chaz. I sent John a message on a STE, or spiritually transformative experience, I will resend to you just in case. I really have to say I started listening to the podcast in the middle somewhere, and then this past week started from the way beginning, and how episode 11 was amazing, what you said at the end of it. It felt like I needed to hear that about my experiences. Now I can learn so much from. Also, right now, I'm starting to experience loss of my dog, 11 and a half years old. He has kidney disease, and he's dying. Every day now, I try to feed something. One day, he would eat a piece. The next day, he wouldn't like anything at all. Anyway, I know his time is near. I just wanted to say thank you so much, and I feel someday I will see him again in heaven." Okay, from the email, and let me take a quick break here and just say thank you, D, for sending this again, because sometimes when, people send messages often, and I do read them all, I once in a while will think I responded or forgot that I didn't respond, or I will put it in a bookmark it to respond to later, and then technical difficulties, I lose track of the bookmark and so forth. My intention is always to reply immediately. So if I don't reply to your email, it means that I either lost it or can't find it or something. It's just my quirky nature. I'm sorry about that. But so D did exactly the right thing. Just send it again or copy and paste to me and I will get it that way. So thank you for doing that. That was perfect. Okay, so from Dee's original email. "Dear Chaz and John, I have had an STE and I wanted to share, but a little background I wanted to share. I grew up with not much religious teaching except in brief. God loves you and God helped you stay on earth when you were born. When I was born 45 years ago, I was born at 28 weeks. At that time, there wasn't much technology as today to help these infants. I weighed under 1 pound, and my parents were told I didn't have a good chance of living. But after 3 months in the hospital, I was able to go home. I managed to develop normally, except for some breathing issues that have managed over the years, that have been managed over the years. I did contract a bloodborne disease that I found out later from numerous transfusions that I had. I had taken a Reiki course some time back, and this was when my STE occurred. I was getting an attunement so I could, too, give Reiki. We were told to imagine a place that is beautiful and somewhere safe we could go to, and we had to imagine a crystal cave. As I saw this cave, it was amazing, bright, and beautiful. As I went in and turned around and looked outside, I saw loved ones who had passed. They didn't come into the cave, but were smiling at me and watching me. I believed I saw God in the cave, and he had me sit down. And as I was getting my attunement from the teacher, God was giving me a transfusion and saying, "You are cured. You are cured." I was crying as my attunement was happening. 1 month later, I found out that my disease was gone. My treatment worked, and God cured me. There's been a lot of good in my life, but I have struggled with depression and have contemplated suicide in the past. I have been listening to your podcast for a few months now and started somewhere in the middle, and now I started at the beginning, and I just want to say thank you. I'm not the best writer in the world, but at least I got a few things out there. I enjoy listening and wanted to say thank you. Okay, and then email thread, it's kind of shows out of order on my part, but I'm trying to piece together the order of how this the conversation took place. But as far as I can tell, I responded and shared a link to a video of Melinda Lyons' near-death experience, which, if I haven't shared that on the podcast, we've got to share that. It's just this adorable experience of this, you know, she's a woman when she's sharing the experience, but when she had it, she was, I think, 13 or 14 years old, and talking about, in her near-death experience, meeting her parakeet that had died just a short time earlier, and the conversation that she had with this parakeet as she's approaching heaven. Just a beautiful, sweet experience. Anyway, so I linked him to that. And then Dee responds a short time later. "Hi, Chaz. Over the weekend, I had a dream about Jack, my dog. I saw him, and he was happy. He had friends. He talked to me. I said, 'How do you feel?' He said, 'Oh, I feel great.' He said he wanted to go play and ran off with his friends. And I yelled, 'I love you, Jack.' And on Earth, I told him that every day. He looked back at me and said just as loudly, 'I know you do.' That's all I remember. At least it was a happy dream and a sign from him that he was okay. Similar dream type. About 15 years ago, my grandmother died, and she never got to see my apartment. My grandfather died just about 1 month before her. In my dream, I saw her. She had a dress on. She was younger and holding hands with my grandfather. They saw my apartment with me, and they were happy. Thanks for listening, and thank you again for the podcast. I enjoy listening. I listened today to The Girl with the Bird, and it was beautiful." And that is the end of Dee's message. And I'll apologize to Dee if I missed anything in there, any part of the conversation, but I believe I got all the parts that Dee wrote. So thank you so much for writing that in. That is, it's incredible to me how much connection we have the capacity of with our pets. And while many of those who feel that connection and sense that, they say that they've got this connection, and other people are like, okay, whatever, you're weird or whatever. You know, near-death experiences confirm that animals are absolutely there in the afterlife with us, just as our friends and family are. So, of course, we should be able to have that kind of connection, and how beautiful that is. So, thank you for sharing that, just deeply touching. And also, as for Dee's experience during Reiki, which, again, I'm only vaguely familiar with how Reiki works, but I gather that, you know, among different types of energy type efforts and work and so forth, people can have these kinds of experiences, either in, you know, maybe a Reiki session like this. Some people have these kind of things in dreams at night. That's very common. And, of course, in meditation as well. So thank you again, Dee, for sending that in. Beautiful, beautiful. Let me share one more experience from enderf.org. This is the account of Vinny on enderf.org. Vinny says, "One of the first things that I experienced was at the accident scene. There were these beings of light, but not any type of light that I am familiar with. It was a kind of a glow. These beings were tall. They really didn't seem to have any faces, but they were surrounded by the vehicle we were in. At the time, I didn't know that one of my friends was dead. Later, I remembered seeing him lying there and covered in blood. I also didn't know that my body was damaged. These beings were protecting us from the other things. They were dark, black, and they seemed to buzz around like bees. They were attempting to penetrate the shield of the beings of light that had formed around us. They seemed to know that they couldn't penetrate it, but they still didn't stop attempting to penetrate it. I do not remember feeling any pain. I am sure I was hurting because I remember my breathing pattern was irregular, but I don't remember the pain. I don't know how much time was spent on each of these events because I was not aware of the passing of time. The next thing I remember was being on a boat, a yacht of some sort. It was white, and I was wearing a white outfit. I was on the deck enjoying myself, talk with someone that I believe was my best friend at the time. This is funny because I remember we were eating fried chicken. I don't know what that has to do with anything. I remember being on the water. It was very peaceful. As I recall this, I can feel the rocking of the boat. It was a relaxing feeling. The thing is, I've never been on a boat like the one I was on. Then I remember seeing myself in different lifetimes that I had previously lived or had knowledge of. I saw myself as a warrior on a plane of some sort. It was cold, yet I was not cold. I was on a horse riding without a saddle. I had a bow and some arrows in one hand, and in the other I remember having a sword or a large knife. I might have been in battle, I don't know, but I remember hanging on to the pony because it was not as large as a horse without my legs. I then saw myself as the member of an army. For some reason, I thought it was the Roman army. I remember marching in some kind of formation bound. I don't know where, but I remember that the dirt was very dry, yet it was not sand, but some kind of fine dirt. It felt almost like powder. I don't understand why I remember these things, or if they are of any importance. Perhaps the little things solve this puzzle. I remember being an indigenous person in pre-Columbian Mexico or Central America. Once again, I had been or was involved in a battle. I saw myself trying to climb to the top of one of the pyramids in Mexico. I have always thought it was the Pyramid of the Sun in the ruins outside of Mexico City. I guess I think that because I went there once to visit and I felt so at peace as I had returned home, like I had been there before, yet I had never been there before that time. As I am writing this, I remember that on a trip in which the accident occurred, we had driven into Mexico City, and I remember seeing them in the distance and longing to see them close again, wanting to be there. I can't explain this. I was trying to climb up, or I was trying to climb the stairs, but I was wounded. I felt that if I could reach the top of the pyramid, I would be safe. For some reason, I don't know why I believed that I was some type of warrior or priest. Then I found myself on a plain once again. It was like a dried-up lake. I was sitting on a rock that was not a rock. It was the most comfortable rock I had ever sat on. The only way I can explain it is that it reminds me of memory foam. At this time, I was approached by a man that, for some reason, I believe was Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He was accompanied by a couple of other men. They seemed older. I could see them. They had beards and were wearing some type of robes. Jesus began to communicate with me. We spoke, but not like anything with others there. This was one of the things I cannot explain. The only way I can describe our communication was telepathy, yet I heard and understood what he was saying. Let me just say that I have never felt such peace as I did sitting there on the rock. I asked him questions, and he answered. One thing I will never forget is that love that I saw in his eyes. I felt accepted, like I couldn't do anything that would stop his love for me. I began to question him about some things. He transferred me to a time during the crucifixion. I remember being in the crowd yelling for him to be crucified. I could smell the blood and I could smell death. I remember as he hung on the cross, I remember stabbing him with my spear, but he was already dead. I didn't cry. I didn't regret my sins. I just remember stabbing him. I don't know if this was a vision he was showing me, but I remember telling him, "We killed you. You died. I saw you die." He looked at me and said, "Yes, but I arose on the third day, remember?" I said, "Yeah, you did." It was at this time that I knew they were sending me back, and I asked him, "Do I have to go back?" He smiled and said, "Yes." He didn't say anything about me having a job to do or anything like that, just, "You're going back." I didn't want to come back. Then I remember being in the hospital. I didn't know that I was back in Texas. But I would walk around, go visit the other people that were in the intensive care unit. There was one man in particular that I would go sit with. I knew he was dying, and so did he. We communicated with each other, much the same way Jesus and I communicated. I would visit other people, but I didn't have the same connection I had with the man that was dying. Then one day, he was not there anymore. He was gone. When I came out of my coma, I asked my mother about him. She seemed shocked that I would know that he was there, so I said to her, "It's okay, I know he died." She never asked me how I knew. This experience changed me. It shook my faith, and everything that I believed seemed different. I would love to say that this experience made me a better person, and eventually it did. It has shaped who I am today. But for about 12 years, it made me a worse person, according to some people. To me, I just was. I no longer feared death or anything else. I felt free. That is the end of Vinny's experience, and I'm starting to feel a little tiredness in my voice, so I'm going to end pretty quick here, but there are some really interesting things in there. The experience of seeing Christ crucified and actually driving the spear is interesting to me, because I find it, I don't want to say unlikely, but I don't think that it was trying to suggest that he was, that Roman guard who drove the spear back in Jesus' time. I don't think that's what it's saying. I think there's a symbolism going on here in that experience. And there's something, because this conversation that they had afterward, it's a little unclear whether this is an experience he has after the fact, you know, after seeing this and then standing with Jesus and discussing it with him, or if it's, you know, in his situation, feeling like he's still talking to Jesus on the cross and saying, "We killed you, and yes, you did, but I rose the third day," and stuff. It's kind of unclear in the account when exactly that took place, but he does say at the beginning of his account that the order of events and the timing of it were a little bit hard to quantify because he didn't sense the passage of time. So we're kind of getting this broad picture. Anyway, the point is, interesting that he sees himself participating in the crucifixion, even driving the spear, and then sensing this love and connection with Christ. It makes me wonder if he was shown this or given this experience to kind of symbolize that, yes, you've had in your life experiences that drove the spear, but you are forgiven, you are loved, you are absolutely unconditionally cared for by Jesus. That's totally me guessing. I can't interpret for him, but it kind of makes me wonder. It's just really interesting that he would have that kind of experience. But anyway, if you would like to contact me, you can do so by emailing chaz@ndepodcast.org. That's chaz@ndepodcast.org. You can also email John by emailing john@ndepodcast.org. You can support the podcast by either purchasing my book, my music album, Home, or by going to patreon.com/ndepodcast and becoming an ongoing monthly contributor. And with that, thank you guys so much again for listening.